This episode of Toad's Recall is sponsored by
Terrible Origami.
.com/Etsy store.
No, just terribleorigami.com. But it goes to Etsy. And you can purchase real products.
They're great. They're folded paper in the forms of things like a tree
or an accordion.
I don't know if there's a tree.
Well, there should be.
I think there is a
tree. Get on that terrible origami.
But paper is made from trees, so they're all trees.
There you go. Nailed it. All trees. It's a bunch of trees.
Hashtag yes, all trees.
TerribleOrigami.com.
Putting the OMG in origami.
What's on board?
You yelled at me at the beginning of this, so I didn't even want to participate in the plug.
Home with $1 million frog. Red big fist.
Totes Recall.
Welcome to Totes Recall, the podcast where we talk about a movie we barely remember, watch that movie, eat pizza and two different kinds of salad.
Oh,
and
no, come on.
Nice details.
Watch that movie again and then talk about it for a second time. My name is Dan.
I'm Molly and I object to pizza talk.
I'm also Dan. Loved the salad addendum.
And I'm Beth. I have no additional...
No opinions?
No.
Yet.
Well, I'm pro pizza.
Sure.
Pro double salad.
Probiotics. Ooh. Propecia.
Oh.
Nope, these are totally unrelated.
Okay. Gosh, what movie are we watching tonight?
Our movie is Point Break. The original, the original. Parenthetical, the first one.
Yes, and why are we watching it?
Because, this is... May is Respect Listener Opinions Month.
Yay!
Thank you, listeners.
So, if you don't know what that means, we called out for suggestions. People suggested movies. We posted a poll, and Point Break was the top voted movie of that poll, so we're watching it.
By a landslide, from what I hear.
Yeah. So, there were some somewhat close contenders.
Okay.
What aren't we watching?
No.
No, I don't want those other movies to feel bad.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
Get also, ready to be respected.
Listener.
Yes, Beth?
Some of the listeners that voted for this movie?
Yeah, that's... what I was going to say.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, I don't know.
What were you going to say?
I don't remember, so then I just agreed with what Dan said.
Fair enough.
Is that the structure of the show? Is I yell too quickly, and then you forget what you want to say and disagree with Dan?
Yeah. Usually.
So I'm, like, diluting the, like, opinions of this podcast every time I open my mouth.
Remember movies really well, but then you... And then I completely forget what happens.
Well, that's good, because... we're kind of predicated on not remembering those.
That's true.
Well, and I think I've aced not remembering this one because I am 90% sure I've never seen it.
Right.
And in fact, I think every memory I have of it is either from the DVD case or from Hot Fuzz.
Yep.
Which references the movie a lot.
Indeed.
So, there's just a lot of like, have you ever felt like you just had to shoot into the air and go,
That's
something
in this
like
movie.
That? Yeah. I assume.
There's actually a scene in... there's a scene of Point Break in Hot Fuzz.
Oh.
Oh, really?
I actually had seen Hot Fuzz before I'd seen Point Break.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, I knew of Point Break, but then that movie referenced it, and then I was like, I really should see that movie, because that looks amazing.
So does Point Break have Keanu Reeves?
Yes.
And Kurt Russell?
No. But I often lump Patrick Swayze, who is in this movie, and Kurt Russell together. Kurt Russell's like the all-action version of Patrick Swayze, to my mind.
Whereas Patrick Swayze is all dancing.
He's a lover and a fighter.
Yes, there. Perfect. Yes.
Yes.
I don't know. I've seen Kurt Russell like in Overboard.
Oh.
He's very charming.
But isn't he like tricking a woman in that movie?
But also they fall in love. And she becomes a better person for it.
But don't you think we'll be like really upset with that movie when we rewatch it?
Yeah, doesn't he scam a woman into being his wife and making her, like, do chores?
Yes.
Yeah.
So she can learn a lesson?
Kind of, yeah.
Patriarchy.
And also he sees a birthmark on her butt.
You guys, don't ruin this movie for me. I love this movie.
Now that you've put those two together for me, I think of Kurt Russell as, like, Swayze's, like, grumpy brother or something. You know what I mean? Like, if Swayze brought you home to, like, meet his family, like, Kurt Russell would be the guy who'd, like, come out of the kitchen drinking beer, like, oh, hey, asshole, and, like, rip Swayze a little bit.
Yeah, and then he'd hop on his motorcycle and tear out of there. Yeah,
and then his mom would be like, Kurt, get back here, we're having dinner!
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm wearing headphones.
That's how that would go.
I lean back, I'm trying to stay far away from that.
I don't remember when I first saw this movie, but I've seen it more than once.
Me too.
And one time, it was the first movie we watched on our current television.
Mm.
Oh. So we plugged it in and we're like, oh, our flat screen television, aren't we fancy people?
Yeah.
And then it was just like on TBS or whatever. Nice. And I was like, I'm in. And we just watched that. It had weird commercial breaks.
Cool.
And it was great. But the last time I watched the movie was while we were in the hospital before the delivery of my
child. Shut up.
What?
And we only watched about half of it because labor got too intense to finish the movie.
Oh,
did you bring it along? Was that like part of your bag?
Yeah, we brought a bunch of movies because like you don't know how long you're going in for. We were there a few days. We watched Roadhouse. my wife had never seen Roadhouse, and I was like, we should watch Roadhouse, it's amazing. And they were like, well, let's stay on a theme and watch another Swayze movie.
Yeah.
Let's watch Point Break. There was one nurse who was super into it. It was like, oh, yeah, Swayze. Like, it was like really into us watching a Swayze movie.
Yeah.
But the best part about that experience was I couldn't, like, it was an intense experience.
Yes.
But I also couldn't help occasionally making some jokes.
Yes.
So there was a point where we were deep into the intensity of labor where I just said, so you want to finish Point Break? And my wife just said, so stupid. And all the nurses kind of chuckled and were like, what is up with these people?
Right. Follow-up question.
Yeah.
Were any of the nurses disappointed you did not end up naming your child Patrick?
Yeah, come on.
There was a lot of jokes about naming him Patrick or Swayze.
Or Bodie.
Mm-hmm. Or Bodie. But so I've seen this movie a couple times, and I love it.
Yeah.
And it's great.
I have a far less intense story. I've seen this movie multiple times, if you'd like to keep that theme going.
Why are you looking at me?
I don't know, because, like, you have not seen it, but I also would like to hear your perspective on it.
Oh, really? Well, I assume it's an action movie. I assume there's surfing in it, but only because during our online chat today, somebody posted a wave.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know that would be a spoiler.
Well,
I think there's a wave on the cover, right?
I feel like you might be overestimating what it would take to be a spoiler or under. Anyway, so I assume it's by the ocean, and they shoot in the air, and they're friends.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they start out friends, but I know they end up friends. And I'm hoping no animals are injured in this movie.
That's about it?
That's it.
That's pretty good.
So who do you think is in this movie?
Well, now I think it's Patrick Swayze and, Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
Oh, he'll be great.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's always great.
No, I mean,
I'm a big Swayze fan, but also Keanu fan.
Cool.
As known in the Matrix newsletter, where I just wrote about how much I love Keanu.
And
subscribe, totesregal.com, scroll down, enter your email.
Yeah, and this is like, the beauty about Point Break is
good.
This is still in the era where, like, Keanu Reeves is young enough where either he, the actor, or the directors directing him feel like he has to be, like, an intense spitfire action guy. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of, like, really uncomfortable attempts at being aggressive in this movie that are hilarious.
Oh, does he, like, ever, like, jut his hair out of the way in an aggressive way?
I don't think so.
I'd like to make that bet.
Yeah.
All right.
Hair jut. I'm ready.
Jutting.
I'm going to counter bet that he keeps it high and tight in this movie.
Yeah. He's kind of a clean-cut dude.
Oh. Oh, does that mean then Patrick Swayze is, like, a maverick?
I mean,
are they both mavericks?
Well, it depends on.
They're both mavericks in a sense.
In a way, sure.
In their different fields.
Yeah.
Are they both police officers?
Who's to say?
Oh, drug dealers.
Who's to say?
No, I get it now. I know what this is about.
Okay, hit me. What's it about?
It's about drug dealers and cops who become friends.
Where's the wave coming?
I think I might be thinking of Miami Vice, actually.
I haven't seen that, so I can't say if you're right.
You've seen
or wrong.
The movie Too Fast, Too Furious, is that correct?
Yes.
Do you feel like you could summarize the plot of that movie?
bad.
Oh, oh, that's mean, but true. There's cars and people become friends.
That's good.
Yeah.
And no animals get injured.
Is that true? Was there no animals injured in Too Fast?
Probably not. I feel like there was too much cars just driving
around. Oh, yeah, like in the desert. There was like, mm-hmm. I guess they could have put a shot of like a lizard getting run over, but that would have been like a, that would have cost money.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, Too Fast is kind of... Is it Too Fast, the one that's, like, essentially Point Break with cars instead of surfing?
Yes.
Kind of, right?
Exactly the same plot.
Yeah. Ooh, except I don't think it...
So one guy's an undercover cop, and he becomes friends with a car thief? A surfboard thief.
Yes. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm going to enjoy this movie.
That's pretty much right.
The surfing industry is falling apart.
Beth, would you say you have a poor memory of this movie, or you, or I mean, not so much?
Well, I saw it for the first time last year.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I would say that I don't remember it that well. I can kind of recap it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There are moments
hit us with some stuff.
Well, spoiler alert to Molly.
That's okay.
Patrick Swayze robs banks.
Oh.
And they wear presidential masks. Like Nixon is a president.
Well, that's great. Let's go down the masks.
Oh, Gary Busey's in this movie.
Yes,
okay,
he is.
Okay,
yes.
Sorry, but back to the masks.
Because there are four. I'm almost sure there's four.
Yes, I'm going to double down on that.
You got Nixon.
Nixon, Ford.
I'll agree with that.
Sure.
I feel like Ford is for sure one of them.
Yeah.
Why not?
No Kennedy? Reagan?
Carter?
Kennedy and Carter?
No Reagan?
Oh, Reagan for sure. Yes.
Reagan's a mega capitalist.
Yeah. Okay, so...
I feel like no Kennedy.
Reagan. No Kennedy? Are they...
I'm going to go Carter. This is me, Dan, going Carter.
I'm going to go Kennedy over Carter.
Ooh.
Okay.
Mm, keep it spicy.
No, the current president? When did this movie come out?
I'm going to say 92.
92? That feels right.
Yeah. So it'd be Clinton.
Yeah.
That's true.
But also no.
I would like to make a bet that Clinton was president in 92.
Right. We'll check into that.
Oh, ooh, man. You guys, speaking of Nixon, though, I remember watching a newsreel of the 70s. When I was in school, and there was just this moment of Nixon coming off of Air Force One at an airstrip in Alabama, and there were these high schoolers, I think they were cheerleaders, and when the door opened and he started to head down, they all said, "We love you, Mr. President."
Who said that? The kids
did. The kids did. Okay. And there's something about the rhythm of "We love you, Mr. President" that really stuck with me.
Yeah.
And I think about probably too often.
Is there a president that you wish you could say that to in that tone?
I don't know
if
Obama.
We want to get too political.
No,
okay.
I don't mean too political. Did. Well, oh no, Jimmy Carter, actually.
You love him?
I love him.
Mr. President.
Mr. President.
Yeah. Really pumped when you see him or not see him in this movie.
Yes.
Dan's bet, I won't be able to identify all four presidents.
Oh.
Wait, what do you mean?
Yes.
Like, I'll see the masks, and that won't be the answer for me. Like, I won't know. Like, Nixon for sure is in there.
Yeah.
He's got that nose, and there's a moment where
there's
someone does
moments.
A Nixon, like, I'm not a crook, even though they are a crook, because they're stealing money.
Oh,
hilarious.
Yeah.
I already don't like this movie.
you 180 on it.
Okay.
If that's all it takes, you are going to not have a good time.
But I don't think I'm going to know the faces of at least one.
That's
I think
amazing.
There's going to be one that I'm not going to be able to identify.
Okay.
That is incredible.
It's kind of scary.
That I don't know Prez faces?
Yeah.
Well, it's like Prez faced in the last, like, what, 30 years tops?
Yeah.
40 now? I don't know.
I don't know.
But
if
you
the podcast
can quit doing like a little shoulder, like,
yeah, like a. Pff,
it was like the tiniest shoulder shrug I've ever seen.
It was the equivalent of a. Pff.
Yeah,
yeah. Because I don't think I know if I could tell a Ford and a Carter rubber mask apart.
Really?
Ooh.
If they were on The Simpsons, yes. I know what Simpsons Ford looks like.
Sure.
He plays football and is simple.
Right.
What? Oh no.
That's that Simpsons episode, right? Like, Ford moves across the street.
I know what you're talking about.
Football? I feel like he's a golf person.
Well, he just he bonds with Homer Simpson at the end over football.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then they go to watch football.
Is that the same one where they're like against George?
Yeah.
H.
The joke is that they send the Bushes packing.
Yeah.
And then immediately Gerald Ford moves into the same house.
That's what it is.
That's
yeah.
like the stinger at the end of the show. Not this movie.
Not this movie.
Oh, yeah. What happens in this movie?
A lot. I'm not sure how much I want to go over. But that's also what we do in this first half.
Yeah, do it.
Half.
Go for it.
Ooh, do you want to hear my story of, like, watching this movie a lot?
Yeah.
It's much less. It's very, very much lower stakes than your story. But I have a friend who we go to his mother and stepfather live in this, like, very large, we call it a cabin, but it's basically just like a nice house in the woods up north. And his stepfather has this immaculate, amazing collection of VHS tapes. Like, they're everywhere. Like, that's part of the joy. Mm-hmm. It's like you just open a cupboard and there's another, like, 24 VHS tapes. And every year we find Point Break just so it's available. Because, like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At some point it's going to be on the TV.
Yeah.
But last year, or I think it was last year, whenever the last time I was there, it got to the point where someone literally put Point Break into the VCR and just walked away, and Point Break played on a loop for like 12 hours. So like we would be going and doing like fun stuff outside, but then anytime you came back to use the bathroom or eat something, there would always be a part of Point Break happening. And so we like, I ended up watching the whole movie, but completely out of sequence. And it was delightful. And I also found that there are certain scenes in that movie where no matter how many times you've seen them in a 12-hour period, you will stop and watch that entire scene.
Was the VCR one of those ones that automatically rewinds?
Yes, exactly.
So it's just like no one touched it. No one was like, let's re-up on this.
The machine decreed that Point Break would continue to play.
Yeah, I like that. It's like you're in a weird German dance club where they play movies. And then
or
dance
one
music.
Movie.
They play a single movie over and over again.
And instead of dancers, there's like one hungover guy taking a nap.
This movie is directed by Kathryn Bigelow.
Yes.
Academy Award-winning director for The Hurt Locker.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Which I find funny in retrospect, but now I kind of think of this movie whenever I watch it, and we'll see if I watch it again. I'm curious to see how watching it more critically will go.
Mm-hmm.
It's always a little different experience watching a movie for the podcast.
Yes.
But I always kind of think of this movie as, excuse me, as kind of a crappy, over-the-top 90s action movie on the surface, but underneath, like, a legit, amazing, well-done movie.
Yeah.
It's like a great movie wrapped in a shitty movie's skin. So I want to see if that still holds up as I watch, because there's like moments of like, oh, this is a great director who's going to go win an Academy Award eventually, and she's making great choices, but it's also like Keanu, Busey, Swayze, action, shoot guns, surfboards, meatball subs.
I totally buy that, because like on the surface, this movie is so stupid, but there are like some compelling elements to it, right? There has to be, otherwise why would people enjoy it as much as they do?
Yeah.
Because this is like, compared to Con Air, this is like an art piece.
Yeah.
Like,
agreed.
I just feel like there's no, like, it can't be good in a good way.
Oh, we'll see.
We'll see.
I feel like it is. It's got Anthony Kiedis in it.
Come on.
Oh. I'm on board. I had a big
back
crush on him.
Yeah. I mean, it's a movie about, like, surfing in Southern California.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's, like, in the 90s.
Yeah.
You gotta have a chili pepper in there.
That's the rule,
and
right?
So Flea wasn't available, or?
I don't think Flea's in it.
I don't think so.
Jaquette's bet no Flea.
No.
Yeah, because I remember when we first were watching it, that during the weekend of Point Break, like, we had the thought that, like, all the chili peppers were, like, that group of dudes.
Yeah.
Like, we just had assumed that the whole band was in it, but then once that scene came out, it's like, oh, no, it's just...
It would make sense.
It would.
You kind of want it to be. You always want them to be together.
Yeah.
Like, in The Chase, which is a terrible Charlie Sheen movie.
Okay.
Kiedis and Flea are buddies in that, and they're, like, weird trucker dudes.
Yeah.
Who are chasing... They're tertiary characters.
Sure.
Charlie Sheen kidnaps a girl
by
accident, but then they fall in love. Okay. I think it's a really bad movie.
Yeah. He kidnaps her by accident?
Or maybe it's like not the main thing, It's like, I gotta, oh, I'm doing like, something else. I better like kidnap her to get away.
And she's like, something like taking that. Taking a nap in the backseat.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he holds her up with a Snickers bar and pretends it's a gun.
Oh, I see.
Now like, I want a Snickers bar.
Yeah, God.
Sorry, candy bar. We're not sponsored by Snickers.
No, we're not.
I'll give that free airplay. Yeah. Anyway, tweet at us. Hashtag, what would that Chase movie? And then either summary of the biopic for Molly Chase or summary of the movie The Chase starring Charlie Sheen with tertiary characters and the Nikitas and the Flea.
The Flea, no. Yep.
Flea.
And the Flea.
The Flea.
No.
Like The Tick.
Yeah.
Oh.
The Flea.
Or The Edge.
Yeah. So I think that's going on. Another thing I love about this movie is that Keanu Reeves' character went to law school on a football scholarship.
Yeah.
Which is not something people do. it's amazing. Gary Busey is a wild man.
So good.
Crazy person.
Sort of.
I feel like there's a scene where he is ordering hot dogs.
Yes, and it's incredible. It's like one of the best line deliveries in the history of film.
It's not hot dogs, though. It's meatball subs.
Yeah.
Oh.
Sorry.
I wanted it to be hot dogs.
No, I'm sorry.
Isn't that funny, too, though?
Sure.
Two.
Entire, like, think about it. It's an entire submarine sandwich.
Yeah.
And he is ordering more than one.
Yep.
That's pretty funny.
And humorous.
He's a big eating dude.
There is a scene with a lawnmower.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That's pretty intense.
Yes.
And a scene with a dog.
Oh.
There's a scene with a dog.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's maybe,
I'm not going to spoil it for you, Molly.
It's maybe one of the best parts of the movie. Okay. For me. All
right. It is my favorite scene in the movie. ever. So.
Okay. Molly Spitz. It will be my favorite scene in the movie.
We'll see.
Does it, by any chance, pass the Bechdel-Wallace test?
No.
Do we think? No, no not way. Even at all.
Oh, yeah. I don't think so.
I will tell you. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I think that there, I can only think of one woman in it.
Yeah.
And I agree.
Who, that actress is?
Lori Petty.
What else is she in?
Tank Girl.
Okay. I've never seen Tank Girl.
I don't know what else she's in.
I saw her in something else after I saw Point Break.
Sure.
I will have the answer after the break.
Nice. Yeah, I can't Point even break. Think of another woman.
That has a name.
Oh, there's
like,
a
there's some other,
woman.
Like, there's some, there's a
yeah, but woman. That, but like, I mean, yeah, there's the, is like ladies who are just around crimers.
Yeah.
Because that's how these movies work. There's always, whenever you invade a crimer's space, there's going to be some random woman who gets in the, like, screams or gets in the way.
Yeah.
That's
or,
the rule.
Or is like, hey, I love you because you're a crimer.
Right.
There's a lady crimer.
Yeah.
But she's unnamed.
Is there any lady cops?
Probably not.
Yeah.
There's probably
one. Yeah, that actress has like a really interesting voice.
Yeah.
Petty?
Yeah. I'll think of it.
Molly, what would you guess her role is based on how movies work or your vague inclinations? Ideas about this movie?
She is a good guy and maybe she's like the spouse of somebody who cares about that person and doesn't want them getting mixed up in this dangerous business.
Okay. What is your prediction her relationship to surfing is?
Oh,
because everyone in this movie has a relationship to surfing, as you may have guessed.
She is an awesome surfer / lifeguard / boater.
What's a boater?
Someone who boats?
Someone who boats.
Oh, so she surfs but also sometimes gets on a boat?
I guess. I don't know. I just want to put her on the water.
Sure.
So, yeah.
That's pretty good.
I'm going to be very excited if there's a lot of surfing in this movie.
Are you big into surfing?
I love surfing.
Do you know how to surf?
I do.
Oh, okay.
I went surfing one time, and I was supposed to only go for 5 days, but I stayed for like 13 days. And on the last day, I had to leave for the airport at 7 in the morning. So at 5:30 in the morning, I was digging a longboard out from under a house and dragging it to the ocean to get one more ride in. It was really cool. Yeah, it was a pretty pivotal time in my life. I'd become really disillusioned with my corporate job. And I went away for 2 weeks and went surfing. And when I came back, I think I was changed because people would come into my office and they'd have some frustration or whatever, and I would do my best to address it. And then they would say, that's cool, but can you put that in terms of one of your surfing analogies? Like, oh, yeah, it's not really about riding the wave in. It's about paddling out, you know? And you can't, like, go against the water. Like, you have to time it so you go with the water or you'll exhaust yourself.
Oh, okay. God, you are going to love this movie.
I was just going to say, Dan's revised bet. Molly is going to relate to half of these characters super hard.
Wow. Because surfing is real hard. The source, Molly.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
If you like the idea of a beautifully coiffed man speaking philosophically about surfing, you're going to love this fucking movie. Man.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, listeners.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a gift to Molly.
Who knew?
Who knew?
Twist. What a twist.
Well, I don't want to stop you guys from making bets, but it does seem like you all watched it very recently.
Yeah,
so.
I think this is... I'm excited we're watching this movie, listeners. But it's also not a movie we necessarily would pick because we remember it well or haven't seen it. Although, haven't seen it is quickly becoming a fine criterion for us.
A very common, unintentional theme for our show.
Awesome. Well, how much do you think you guys are going to like it?
Who? I think I'm going to like it a lot.
How many coiffed surfboards?
Coiffed surfboards?
Wait, the board?
The board is coiffed?
Yeah, I don't know, sure.
Oh, that's amazing.
My gut is to give
somebody
it,
draw that and tweet it to us, please.
Hashtag, what would that coiff board?
Yep.
bonus
points if you spell coiff correctly.
Yeah. My gut tells me to give it 4 for room to grow, but I'm going to be bold and just say 5 coiffed surfboards right out the gate.
Yeah.
I hope my paying attention and taking notes doesn't decrease my viewing. That's my one worry, that I'm going to think about it more than I normally do and be like, oh, no, it's just a dumb movie.
Right.
Oh, no. I'm gonna be brave and give it 4.
Ooh.
Just because of the surf thing that just happened. We'll find out.
Right. Yeah. Just ride that wave.
Yeah.
I get it.
I am also going to give it 5 coif boards, and I have no illusions that it's not anything more than a dumb movie, but I don't care. I love this movie. Wow. 5 coif boards.
Coif board.
Yeah, I'm going to go 5.
What?
I'm going to give Keanu Reeves' performance, though. This is a side rating. Probably a 2.
Okay.
Because I don't like Keanu Reeves.
Wait, can we write it down even? We already knew that.
Did we?
Dave Ortiz will know from the Matrix episode.
I forgot. He's amazing.
Would you be willing to break it down even more? If you're going to rate Keanu, can you give me a prediction on Swayze, Busey?
Okay, Busey's a 5.
Okay.
And then Swayze, I'm going to give 4.
Okay. How about Anthony Kiedis?
10.
How about the guy from Scrubs who's their boss?
Wait.
Oh,
what?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember his name.
Oh, what is his name?
He did a lot. He played a lot of characters like this in movies in the 90s where he was just like, I am speaking very intensely.
Wait, is
does
he
have a mustache in this movie?
Ooh.
I think he does
great
have
question.
A mustache.
I think he doesn't.
Okay, I'm going mustache.
Okay, let's call that the performance rating then.
Okay, mustache.
Yeah.
Okay. And how about a female character? How about Lori Petty? Rate her.
The venom in the voice there.
Jeez.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Or don't.
7.
Oh, man.
No, I don't know.
I would say like 3.
Yeah, we'll see.
I mean, she was memorable enough that I remember her voice.
Sure.
Yeah.
But not enough for me to remember her name.
I think she probably does fine.
Yeah.
I like these ratings, though. I'd probably give Keanu 10 as well.
Sure.
Oh, and I'm going to give the dog infinity. Just an infinity sign.
Like a participation award almost.
Yeah. It is the star of this movie.
Yes. Agreed.
Hush up, everybody. Let's go watch this awesome movie about surfing and dogs. Right?
Yeah.
I'd be so disappointed.
You're going to either love it or hate it.
It's going to be great.
And we're going to hit pause, and then we're going to go watch the movie. We'll be right back.
2 salads. 2!
Touch! we just watched 2 hours and 2 minutes of something. It was a real mixed bag, you guys.
Yeah, a mixed bag of surfing, drama, and the power of male bonding.
Yeah. Oh, man. Romance so much on bonding. Many different levels. Sweet action.
The source.
Sweet action, like, for example, a chase scene.
We're getting right into it.
With many improbable obstacles and moments, including a lady who was just doing her laundry.
Yep. That's however, pretty probable. People do laundry all the time.
Oh, yeah. Hush your face. There is no reason for most of those things. And the most egregious, horrifying, terrible, nasty part of the whole thing is that somebody throws a dog.
Oh, that is not the most nasty part. You were angry about the response to the dog throwing.
Well,
the dog was thrown thoughtfully.
And caught thoughtfully.
Yes, because he was a football star. Yeah.
And then drop kicked.
Again.
Into the yard.
Football
star.
Okay, you guys.
That dog was attacking.
That dog was not. That dog was like
a vicious killer.
Reaching out to hug him. And he, I mean, this is the hero of this freaking movie, okay?
Is it? So, I feel like it's an ambiguous hero in this movie.
Thank you.
It's a complex story of morality and society's
Well,
collapse.
You know what's also complex is when your friends mislead you about an adorable dog in a movie.
You're saying a dog with an adorable?
I am saying you misled me about whether or not it would be harmed.
What did we... did we say
it wouldn't be harmed? I didn't say it
wouldn't be harmed. We didn't say either way.
I think we said there's an animal moment
that
we were looking forward to your reaction on.
Yeah. No. You just said you were looking forward to it. You didn't say you were looking forward to my
reaction.
Yeah,
because it's like the best scene in the movie.
It's so good. It comes out of nowhere and a dog is just thrown at somebody.
I mean, just so everyone knows what happened when the dog was dropkicked, Molly stood up and yelled at the television.
Yeah, she did not sit down for like a solid 3 minutes.
Yeah.
I think it is on the level with the gun in the mouth of Norman the Cat.
Yes.
That was...
Absolutely.
Which was another standing up shouting at the... I think that's still number one.
Yes.
But this might be number two
for sure.
Animal reactions from Molly Chase.
Yeah.
I've seen this movie a few times, as said, but I never noticed the kick.
Me neither.
The separate kick cut after that.
I always thought he just kind of like tossed him aside.
Yeah.
No.
Or like gently placed him
kick.
On the ground.
Yeah, but
he kicks him.
Drop kick.
And then I was thinking about that. So that scene is Keanu Reeves, agent Johnny Utah.
Yeah, special agent Utah.
Is chasing his nemesis / lover, Bodhi.
Yes.
And then Bodhi throws a dog at him. And I was thinking like, since Bodhi has such a calm energy, he is able to, in mid-chase, lift a dog.
Right?
With no problem, and then throw it, but then Utah, who's chaos and not centered by the source, surfing, he still has to, like, fight off the dog.
Right.
Okay, that dog was sweet.
He tamed that dog in seconds. Think about that. He was mid-stride, and he just made eye contact with the dog. The dog immediately accepted, like you accept the waves of the ocean, and then allowed Bodhi to embrace him in his beautiful tanned arms.
Yes.
And then was betrayed by that trust, just as all of Bodhi's friends were.
You're saying the dog was foreshadowing.
I'm saying the dog was unnecessarily injured in this movie.
The dog's probably fine.
Whatever.
The dog actor.
Dog actor.
The dog character is probably still fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't feel like it was.
Dogs, like, run into shit all the time real hard, and they're fine.
Yeah. I will say, I don't appreciate yet another instance of villainizing the pit bull breed.
Yeah. Yes. They are sweet animals.
Yeah.
But again, to be fair, as Molly pointed out, the dog itself was mostly just kind of like, hey, catch me. Like, it wasn't even like bearing his teeth.
Yeah. The dog wasn't like attacking.
It was just
anyone.
Sort of confused.
Sure, but they chose. The movie makers chose that to be a pit bull.
They could have chosen a chihuahua.
Right.
Yeah.
Although that wouldn't have been.
I feel like if more would have
dropped a chihuahua.
Yeah, that would have
been. He would get mad.
It could have been like a husky.
Taken that dog out.
Yeah, it would have
like
exploded.
A pit bull can
take it.
Take it.
Yeah, because they're dense.
Sure.
They're dense.
Yeah.
It is unacceptable.
Do you think they screen tested a few dogs and were just like, well, that breed clearly couldn't take a dropkick from a football star.
Yeah. He's a college football.
His feet are lethal weapons.
You know what? I think the stunt person or Keanu Reeves himself just freaked out in the moment and dropkicked that dog out of fear.
Because it's a separate scene. It cuts to the kick.
It makes no sense to have the hero of the movie drop kick a dog. This is the opposite
of what you're doing. He's not that great of a guy.
Well, you know what? He is not. And I felt so conflicted through this whole movie.
Yes. Because it's a great film.
Yes.
No. Is this supposed to be? Like, was that supposed to be a funny moment?
Because there are funny moments in that chase.
There's just a lot of moments that I think are funny, and I feel like the people who made the movie are smart enough to know that they are not to be taken seriously.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. The dog one's confusing, because it is funny.
Right. But it's also just surprising.
I think it's more like a, whoa, yeah, that kind of moment.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which then, since so much of comedy is surprise,
yes,
we laugh because we're surprised.
Yes.
I guess so. Also, I just want to say that apparently banking was much more popular in 1991 than it is now.
There's a lot of people at the bank.
So many people at the bank.
Yeah, well, I mean, no internet banking.
That's true.
Oh, true, 91.
But still, 92, I mean,
right?
91.
Oh, yeah. We bet 92. Dan and I bet 92. Molly and Beth didn't weigh in. Mm-hmm. We were wrong.
Okay, great.
I thought maybe it was 91.
Okay. Did you say it?
No, I didn't even think.
You felt it though, like the waves of the ocean?
I tried to take credit for it.
Yeah, that's fine.
But I'm a little upset with Keanu Reeves because...
As you should be.
Or are you, like, the actor or Johnny Utah?
Oh, that's really hard.
Because they're different. Okay, I mean, Keanu Reeves takes on a persona of a college football star.
Does he really?
I don't think Keanu played football.
And, learns to surf.
He probably knows how to surf.
And he probably knows how to surf better than Johnny Utah
does. I bet he does, yeah.
Mm. You know, every time I heard the name Johnny Utah, I was reminded about how when my sister was in high school, she had an Arabic teacher, and he had planned to change his name. And the name he had chosen to be a more American name was Greg Montana.
Yes.
That is a great name.
That is the most American name I've ever heard. That is a great name choice.
It's excellent. I don't know if he ever went through with it, but I think he had identified it as. Yeah. And in hindsight, I don't even know if he was serious or if he was just saying that was the most American name there is.
That guy wears boots. Yep. And, like, lights matches off his stubble.
Yeah. Exactly. Greg Montana. Light that cigarette from my own cheek.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm just saying that Keanu Reeves was confused. His character was confusing because he would do stuff like, okay, I've got this cool partner, not Steve Buscemi, but
Gary Busey.
Angelo Pappas, which is also a great character name. That is like a win for the screenwriter.
He's like, hey, I'm going to yell at you until you open up at me and tell me your theory about who these robbers are. And he does open up. Mm-hmm. And then Johnny Utah does nothing for the next several minutes of film but make fun of him for opening up.
Mm-hmm.
Is this what it's like?
To be a man?
To be a man?
Yes.
You have to yell when you have emotions. Yeah.
And then when you express something genuinely, you get made fun of.
Yeah. I think it's a very accurate portrayal of what it is like to be a man.
Yes.
In this modern age.
Indeed. And that's why he's so conflicted, because he sees the freedom that Bodhi represents as a man untethered from the world.
Yeah.
He lives free.
And he wants to be him. Or be with him.
Or both.
So confusing.
Yeah, he's a confused character. Like, he is struggling throughout the film to be Johnny Utah, football scholarship lawman.
Yeah. Agent Johnny Utah.
Special Agent Johnny
100%
Utah.
100% FBI shooting guy.
Yeah. You didn't remember that scene, right?
I didn't remember that, Beth.
The opening with the shoot, the gun range?
No, not at all.
There is an incredible opening credits montage of, like, slow-mo waves cut with Keanu Reeves in a tight, rain-soaked t-shirt blasting away at cardboard people.
I mean, I'll say I'm okay with this movie in that aspect.
Tight, rain-soaked tees?
Yeah. That's the only part of Keanu Reeves that
There's a lot of tight tees in this movie.
There are a lot of tight tees and a lot of wet bodies.
Yep. Uh-huh. Well, you know.
It's the source.
Yeah.
But there's a guy at the end of it who
That is his one role in the movie, is to look like an authority figure with sunglasses and then just go, 100% Utah.
Yeah, first he clicks the stopwatch.
Oh, right. Yeah.
100%, and they both, like, fist pump at each other.
Yeah. Which is, like, that's, like, a nice foreshadowing for the whole movie. Like, that's our first moment of, like, intense male bonding.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they are with each other.
These two men are excelling.
Yes.
At their activity.
At being men together.
Yeah. Shooting bad guys. Mm. Mm, so good. Molly, you remembered, and by remembered I mean guessed since you hadn't seen this movie, that there would be action.
Yeah.
Check.
Surfing. So much action.
Check.
Uh-huh.
The two characters would be friends, maybe at the start or the end, or by the end. Check, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely check.
But they were, I feel like they're best friends in the middle.
Right.
That's when their friendship is at its most friendly.
Yes.
I feel like what we found out.
And then it breaks.
Oh.
But I feel like what we learn is that Johnny Utah's real friend, his real bro, was his partner.
Angelo Pappas.
Angelo Pappas.
Yeah.
And not Brody.
Bodie.
Bodie.
I know you want to say Brody because he's your bro.
He's your bro. Yeah. Bodie. But you know what I mean? Like, it's just like when you're in middle school and a popular person pays attention to you a little bit and you forget all about the friend that stuck by you since the fourth grade.
Yeah, but then that dork friend who stuck by you gets shot in the back multiple times with a shotgun.
Or by mean notes in class.
Right, and you realize
that you have to move on for survival.
Yeah, I should have stuck with him.
Yeah.
And not been attracted to the beautiful, flowing, sun-bleached locks. Wow. Of the popular
character. I have to say, though, his hair was great.
Oh, my God.
Oh, just like
Swayze's whole look in this movie is just fantastic.
He does this thing as well where he doesn't really blink.
Yeah.
And so he definitely has an intensity that I was having a hard time.
Like you
a hard time looking away from?
So,
it just is, like, I was like, I couldn't take his character as seriously as I normally would take a Swayze character.
Sure.
Because I felt like he was really going for it.
I loved it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that was great.
I think you nailed it. You even said he's like a cult leader. Like he's just this like wild-eyed guru.
Yes.
He kind of is. And I had not seen that arc before. There's like the point where he really loses it. I think they actually are trying to illustrate that. There's a point where he goes too far, and then he becomes like Anthony Kiedis and his gang, which is they only live to get radical, as he says. I think at some point he is living to get radical.
And for sure.
Forgets about the balance that the ocean taught him.
Yes.
And that's when his bros get shot in the bank, and he gets unhinged
that's
and
right.
like takes... Don't worry about it, Gertie. It takes Lori Petty hostage.
Yep.
Yeah.
And shit goes south.
Yeah, real south.
Lori Petty.
To Mexico. Okay.
No. No, I get it.
Sorry.
Lori Petty was in A League of Their Own.
Ah.
Which and one? And
she plays Kit.
Mm-hmm. The little sister.
Oh, the one who gets traded to Racine.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, cool. Mm-hmm.
And she appears in later seasons of Orange is the New Black.
Okay.
I'm sure she's done lots of other things, too, but it was so delightful to see her in a lead role, or lead-ish.
The closest to a female lead.
And they did, I mean, in some ways, like, she did get some pretty great lines about, you know, calling out the male surfers on the whole, like, giant waves and dropping and how, you know, I wish I'd written it down. But she said some smart things.
She called him out of that bullshit a lot.
Yeah, she did. She was
a strong character. I'd say a strong woman. And the only woman.
Well, besides Mrs. Computer.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Agent Computer.
Agent Computer. Agent Computer, by the way, is my MVP of the movie.
Tell me why?
Yeah. So she is the lady who runs the computer, at the one computer at the FBI
apparently,
office
yeah.
to search the database and whatnot. I don't know. She's just, like, she's killing that part of, like, I know how to use a computer, and then is, like, also making fun of everybody, like, when they're talking about how Keanu's contact is this attractive woman, and she's, like, hot. Very hot.
She was really good.
She, like, just, I don't care. I'll rib it to you. She was great.
My MVP, similarly, was one of the other agents who was the, like, puffy-haired dude who was like a real douche. He's the guy who, like, yeah. when Utah showed up late to his own ratings, he's like, what a flake.
Yeah. I feel like that line sticks out so much to me. Like, those are, like, grizzled FBI agents that are always making fun of each other. Yeah. To call someone a flake yeah. seems so, like, soft-handed of an insult.
Yeah.
yeah.
I wonder if that was a rewrite.
Oh.
A different F word.
Oh, yeah.
That they decided.
It was too far.
Too far. Or, I don't know, maybe Flake.
Well,
I mean, Flake's accurate.
Yeah.
It's an accurate burn.
It
he
is.
Flaked out on his raid.
Well, I mean, that has bigger consequences than if someone, like, flakes on meeting you for a movie,
yeah.
right?
Sure.
So maybe it is a correspondingly intense
Sure, in the
burn.
World of the FBI.
It's like blue flame? What do they call him?
They call him a blue flamer a couple times.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Tweet at us.
Hashtag, what would that blue flame? Mm-hmm. Yeah, something about being new or like a goody two-shoe.
Oh, never mind then. I was going to say, a blue flame is like the hottest flame.
Oh, so maybe he's like
hothead.
Really going for it?
Yeah, yeah.
Like in gaming parlance, mm-hmm. it would be a try-hard.
Like, because they're trying so hard?
Someone who tries really hard.
Gotcha.
Which I still don't really understand why it's an insult. But if someone tries really hard when you're playing a video game against you, you can call them a tryhard, and it's an insult.
So it's an insult because they're playing
a game, and the point is to win. But
right.
They're trying hard to
win.
Well,
it sounds like they're being vulnerable, and so you have to apparently be mean to them.
Yeah, because they're
yes.
putting themselves out there again. Yes. You're asking them to show some sort of emotional investment in a thing,
yep.
and then when they do, you knock them down.
That's,
you call
that's
them
what,
a flake.
That's what I just said.
Yeah, I was bringing it back to the first part about how to be men together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
yeah.
no, I know. I know.
This is another thing about being men. We restate things all the time.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do.
My MVP is actually a little sadder. It's the security guard
that was
at
my
the
MVP.
End.
Oh, yeah.
He only has a few lines, and he just really nails the fact that he knows he's gonna die.
He so
badly
doesn't want to help out. He just wants to lay on the ground and live.
Yeah,
yeah.
It doesn't matter. That money's insured.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he knows the situation is screwed.
Yeah.
So he's
yeah.
just like, don't be a hero, dummy.
But that other cop has to be a hero.
Mm-hmm.
Gets himself shot and gets the security guard shot.
It's yeah.
terrible.
It's terrible.
I really, one thing I appreciated about this movie is how visceral and real, and in some ways not glamorous, in some ways very glamorous. But if you think about the type of gunshots and the way gunshots were portrayed in this movie versus like the Matrix or, I don't know, lots of other movies,
yeah.
it was very graphic and terrible.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I thought,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, when they start to live only to get radical.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, like, just gross, nasty, like, craters and shoulders.
Craters
and,
is a good person.
Yeah, you know? It wasn't like, oh, I've been shot. Let me fall to the ground. And
yeah, like their bodies were getting shredded. Like when
yeah.
Kiedis shoots himself in the foot.
Yeah.
Oof.
That's real gross.
That's
yeah.
real
and
gross.
And he does his best piece of acting.
Yeah.
He does. You guys, I love Anthony Kiedis. And my best friend had the biggest crush on him, but I had such a crush on him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just really hard. It was just really hard to see him not excel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because these lines were not...
Is it easier now that he, like, dresses like someone's dad and it's kind of chill?
No, I just so wanted him to succeed. And
he was my second place MVP.
Oh.
Mostly for the part where he's the one who's rocking out when they're, like, in the house, right?
Yeah.
And he, like, is, like, rocking out, laying in a bed.
Yeah. Pounding his chest.
Yeah. And it is... it's something that I would never want another human being to have to do. He did it. He did it on camera. He did it for art.
Because you think it's such an embarrassing way to digest
it
music?
It just is like, yeah, who's doing that?
People who live only to get radical.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
You're trying to
I
get
mean,
so radical.
The most radical.
Radical
way to rock out is laying down.
He doesn't wanna, maybe he, like, the last time he tried to rock out, he was standing up
mm-hmm.
and just, like, jumping around,
yeah.
and he pulled his headphones off. Although, again, wearing headphones is, like, a less radical way to listen to music.
Yeah.
He should be blasting the bass. Maybe his friends yelled at him.
Yeah, they're just like, hey, man, I'm trying to get radical in a quiet way.
They're not even, like, the music isn't even turned up loud enough that we can hear, like, the music playing, can we?
I mean, you just sort of hear like a tinny.
I didn't even hear the tinny part.
Well, the lawnmower's going.
To be really honest with you, I thought he was having a seizure.
Yes.
I was like, oh no, he needs medical attention. That's the twist. And then I realized that was not the situation.
At first I thought maybe he was like doing some sort of drug that was making him do that. And then I realized he had headphones on.
It was probably both, right?
Yeah, he's probably blasting off on some.
Yeah.
Drug. Mm-hmm. Is that the term?
Methamphetamine. Is that how they said it?
Methamphetamine.
Yes.
Yeah. 2 kilos uncut methamphetamine.
Yeah. In that raid that goes terribly, there's a moment where a lady who had previously been minding her own business, taking a shower, beats up Johnny Utah.
So fast.
Like Jason Bourne style.
Yeah.
I was kind of want to know her backstory.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because she was like more effective than any of the dudes.
Yeah. She cut the shit out of him.
And it's awesome because it happens after she has a very normal reaction, which is to scream a lot and cower. Because, well, I mean, you're just in your home, right?
Yeah.
And then she just, like...
Goes for it.
Yeah.
I mean, your home is also a drug den with a lot of weapons in it.
Yeah. Well,
too many weapons, you might say.
You know, people might have criticisms of my home, too. But you're still home.
The number of guns in your home. There was... Molly pointed this out. There was an amazing moment where, like, when... Angela Pappas comes to the door pretending to be just a goofy Gary Busey looking for his dog. They're like, shoot, there's someone at the door. Get your guns. And then they take out, like, what seemed to be, like, twice as many guns as they could carry. And then spent a good amount of time, like, deciding which gun to use.
I didn't understand that reaction at all. No. Like, he literally comes to the door asking if they're, like, have you seen my dog? And they're like, get all of the guns.
Yeah, well, they can sense it.
I mean...
When you live that radical,
like, I guess that is the most radical reaction that we've ever
talked about. That actually does fit. Like, I wrote that down. Like, that actually fits like what we are presented from those characters. Before that, we're like everything they do it as an aggressive asshole. Like, they surf like assholes. They confront people on the beach like assholes. They drive their open air jeep like assholes.
That's a good point.
So, which another word for it is. Radical.
Yeah.
They radically did all of those
things. Yeah. Okay. It all adds up.
It all adds up, right?
Good job, casting agent.
We guessed on the president masks.
Oh, yeah.
Nixon, Ford, Kennedy or Carter.
Nope.
And Reagan.
It was definitely Carter.
Carter was in there, right?
Yeah.
But no Ford, no Kennedy.
Nope, I was wrong.
Just LB Johnson.
LBJ was the fourth one, which... We tried to let it go long enough to see if I could identify all four of them, but they pretty much were naming them as they showed them in the first scene they were there.
Yeah.
So I didn't really get a chance to guess, but I will say honestly, I was never going to guess LBJ by a mask. That wasn't going to happen.
Question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think the part where Bodhi is naming all of them was specifically for people like you who are just like, oh, I don't remember. I don't know who this is supposed to be.
Probably. Yeah. I feel like it would be... distracting to be like, oh, they're all presidents, but who's that one?
Yeah.
And like think about that rather than being in the movie, so it like gives the audience a chance to be like, here they are, let's move on.
Or even worse, you don't recognize any of them and they're just like, why are they all dressed up like these melty old men?
Yeah. Oh. Well, they say we're the ex-presidents, right?
Eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like his speech that he gives when they're robbing the bank.
Right.
Yeah. I wonder if there's
the ex-presidents. That was a really good Swayze.
Mm-hmm. It was good.
I wonder if there's a choice to those four. It's not. Is it the last? Is it the most recent? My history's not good enough. Is this the most recent four ex-presidents?
Well, Johnson was after JFK. And after Johnson was Nixon. And then after Nixon was...
Ford.
So no.
Maybe Rosie... The fire guy, the guy who spit beer into the fire.
Yeah.
Maybe he used to be Ford, but he, because he was a mechanism, as Bodhi calls him, and would just get too violent, they had to cut him out of the robbery element.
Ooh. I like that theory.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Fan theory.
I'll stick with that.
Okay.
Cool. Are we going to talk about when they jump out of an airplane? Because I have a jump out of an airplane story.
Yeah, let's do it. So, amongst getting radical, the first time they jump out of the airplane, yeah, or the second time? Because they skydive twice in this movie.
Yep,
that's true.
Only one of the times do they fight in midair.
I don't know if that was fighting.
I mean, they make a lot of physical contact.
It looks like insects.
Yeah.
When they...
Go ahead.
Do it.
Bang. Yeah. The question is, did they bang? And the answer is, yes, they did.
Emotionally.
Emotionally.
Right?
I mean, they are on top of each other, and then afterward, when they're on the ground, they kind of recap what just
Yeah, like they're both exhausted.
Seems like the cigarette moment.
Totally. They're all tangled up in the blanket /
parachute.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty clear to me what happened.
It's pretty, yeah.
I'll get on board with that.
There's a lot happening with all of that. So the story did not happen to me. It happened to someone I met through scuba diving.
Okay.
The
opposite of scuba diving.
Yes.
Well, you have done a lot of radical things.
You live radical.
I have. I have done a dive with sharks. That was foolish. So dumb, you guys.
Did you almost get eaten by a shark?
No, but it's so...
Were you in one of those cages?
No.
Were you wearing a male shirt?
Nope. None of those things. Mm. They just have you go down to the bottom of this little area... and then you keep your arms really close to your side so that the shark doesn't read your hand or anything floating out there as, like, food.
Yeah.
Because what they do is they have a guy who is just wearing, like, a chain metal glove reach in and have some chum on a stick. And so, like, 30 sharks at a certain point are circling. Oh. And it's just, as I was down there, I was like, this is the dumbest. Why are we teaching sharks that people equal food? Mm-hmm. Like readily digestible chummy bloody food.
Yeah. That sounds like my nightmare.
Yeah, it was terrible. And so, and also there's this whole deal where you don't want to, if your respirator comes out of your mouth, you're supposed to keep your hands really close to your body and trace up from where it's in the tank and pull it back to your mouth that way. Ugh. And so you're not supposed to panic. And then same thing if your mask or whatever comes off. If your mask comes off and you can't reach it, like, without moving your hand out, you just let it go.
Hmm.
And there was this moment where I could see the shark was perfectly timed. Because, you know, their body moves in that, like, certain sway. And I was like, wow, I'm about to get hit square in the face by the sharks. Yep. Yep. And I could see it coming. And I've got it on video. I should try to pull it from VHS. But anyway, sure enough, the shark comes and just flaps me, like, dead in the middle of my face. And, like, pushes my... Very fortunately for me, he pushed my... Or she. I don't know. pushed my mask, like, closer to my face, like, square on, and I fell backwards, like, you know those clowns?
Yeah.
Those inflatable clowns?
Yeah.
Yeah, sand at the bottom? You just punched it in the face, and I just went back and then floated back up and just blinked a lot and waited for it to be over. It was a terrible idea.
Huh.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, a guy I met doing that was an EMT worker.
Okay.
And EMT workers are kind of adrenaline.
Did you
junkies.
Meet him because he was like, I need to check out your face?
No.
Afterwards?
Like, no, that would have been a much better part of the story. Actually, maybe it's... Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
The point is, he was going skydiving with other EMT workers. Or EMT... EMT? Mm-hmm. EMTs.
EMTs.
Yeah.
This EMT was going skydiving with other EMTs. And they had kind of a weird jump. The... altitude or the location wasn't quite right. They were about a mile off. And as he was coming down to land, there were electrical wires in his way.
Oh my God.
And the wind wasn't working with him. And he very, very narrowly avoided the wires, which is why he was able to tell me the story.
Yes.
And had kind of a rough landing, but was fine. And so... you know, he was like a mile away from all of these, where everybody else had landed. And so the van of, sort of the follow van swung by, full of EMTs, and they're like, hey man, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, I'm fine. He was so elated, so glad to be okay. And they're like, we're going to go check on those two people. We'll be back in an hour. He's like, fine. And they drove away. And the moment they drove away, he realized his leg was broken.
Oh,
terribly.
No.
But the adrenaline and the relief at not having been electrocuted meant he sent, like, a whole van full of people who could have helped him away.
Wait, what was the plan? Why did he have to stay there?
Because they had to go check on the other people who had a rough landing about a mile away. Because
he was fine.
Yeah, because so they had triaged, asked him
right.
a person who knows how to triage if he himself was okay and wouldn't get it right. Yeah, right?
Yep. Very radical.
He became a computer programmer.
Because his leg was so broken, he couldn't operate an ambulance
anymore?
Yeah,
it was like a, almost like a football knee injury.
Where his leg was turned 90 degrees the wrong
way. That was gross. We're talking now again about Johnny Utah.
Yes. Johnny Utah. Yeah. Busted his knee in college. I get... So that was while he was in law school? No.
I think he...
He was playing undergraduate football.
He was a Buckeye.
Yeah. Blew out his knee.
Yeah.
Then couldn't go pro, so went back to law school on the football scholarship, even though his knee was busted at that point?
I wasn't clear on that.
I never put that timeline together.
Was the law school part a lie? When he lied to Tyler about his whole spiel?
Oh, maybe.
My
I don't think so.
That he never went to law school.
He went to... Well...
He lies to her a bunch, and then he says that his parents are dead, and his parents aren't dead at all.
Oh, shit. I took that as truth, that he went to law school and a football scholarship.
Maybe that's why... Well, he did... The football part is for sure true, because we see his skills.
Well, and all the surfers recognize him.
Yeah.
Number 9! Exactly. How are you?
Which, that part is insane, that there's a bunch of, like, adrenaline junkie surfers that, like, know intimately the details of college football, like his number,
like
the
one
game.
Guy
yeah.
from several years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, weren't they, though, at that point, kind of, they had gotten to know that about him, and they were like, hey, don't you know who this is? It's number 9.
No, that was, like, only Bodie knew that.
Yeah.
The other dudes were like, hey, you went too far, tackling him into the ocean, and that's how he calmed them down. He was like, don't you know who this
it's
is?
Okay.
This guy's a famous college athlete. You're like, oh, cool, we love college football.
Yeah. Hey, didn't you do this very specific thing in a game I watched? Basically, is the line. Yeah.
But we know that that football game was good because there was someone credited in the movie as, help me out remembering exactly what it was.
Football coordinator?
There was police something, and then the
advisor.
Same thing.
Football advisor.
Football advisor.
Yes.
What?
Authentic.
It's a long beach football game.
Yes.
Yeah, like they need to know what football looks like, how to throw a football, what a football looks like.
Yes.
There are a whole bunch of things that need to be advised.
Do you think that was day one of the shoot? Like, okay, guys, this is a football.
Yeah, for sure.
You a bunch of actors, probably never played a sport in your life.
Only know how to surf.
Yeah. Hey, dancer boy, I see you.
Do you think he choreographed the entire football game?
The football advisor?
Like, was he the Wu Ping Yuen of football?
Yeah.
Famous fight choreographer?
Yes.
Yep.
Maybe. I think there must have been a choreographer, again, for that jumping out of the airplane scenes. Patrick Swayze does, like...
So graceful.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's truly incredible.
Well, he's a dancer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A dirty dancer.
Oh, you don't have to tell me that. I watched that movie so many times.
Okay.
All women do.
I've never seen it.
What?
So
some women
that.
Do. I have also seen it.
I've also seen it. I just saw it last year.
Oh,
this
so
year.
Maybe all
last year.
People do.
Well,
yeah.
What are you saying about yourself?
With a robot.
Oh, no.
We know that about me.
Yeah, right. Okay. Guy from Scrubs, totally in it.
Yeah.
And I wrote this down.
McGinley.
Yeah, I wrote this down. He is like classic 90s cop boss.
Yeah.
Like any 90s TV show movie where there is like a boss of the cops that you are rooting for is like that.
Except for he does not have a mustache.
No mustache.
Yep, no mustache.
That was a major disappointment, and as soon as I saw that, I stopped paying attention.
Wow. That's pretty early on.
It's like really, like first, almost the first scene of the movie.
I do want to say about that scene... and this is early on, but this is when it was confirmed for me that I was right, that this is a great movie wrapped in a shitty movie.
Yeah.
Because that shot when he's introduced to the FBI headquarters is just like one long West Wing style walking in the hallway shot before West Wing, right?
Yeah.
And it's, I think it's great. It looks really cool to walk through that whole office. And even though the dialogue's like not great, the shot looks fantastic.
There's some incredible shots in this movie.
I agree with you on that. I think that the movie was beautifully shot.
Yeah.
It's like great. It's just the rest of it that's terrible.
Yeah.
You know, and hearing you say that makes me wonder if the director wasn't like, wow, well, this dialogue is all terrible. Let's have them walk and talk.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. What can we do that's more interesting to the scene other than
because she made it very chaotic or like extra chaotic. So you couldn't catch all of it. Which I think was useful, because all I could think during this movie is I just want to read the screenplay because I cannot believe any of these words.
The first, like, the first 10 minutes for Molly with all the, like, top boss dialogue, she, like, was already, like, completely against me. She's just like, ugh, like, anytime anything went over their mouth, especially once Papa started doing his little razzy comments about everyone's a shit-bricking blue flame and whatever, she just, like, immediately checked out.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you said, I hate this.
Yes. But then came the first beautiful shot of a certain West Coast Buddha riding the swell, and suddenly Molly was back in and engaged.
Yeah, it's true.
This amazing pillow hair.
Yes.
I have to say that the surf shots and the surf talk.
So good.
Was right on.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah, how did you feel about the philosophy that Bodhi was laying down behind surfing? Did you connect with that?
Yes. Because I do think, and they kind of got at this with Johnny Utah's first attempts at surfing, is that surfing is, above all else, I think, an exercise in humility and an exercise in adapting to forces well beyond your control.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because one of the things I was thinking about when I learned to surf is my teacher was like, if you get pushed under the water and you're going to get pushed under the water because you're going to fall, it's like a really disorienting, scary feeling, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're just, water seems to be everywhere and there seems to be no up direction. She's like, you can count one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi, and you probably won't get to five. And I was like, because I'll die? She's like, no, by the time you get to five, you'll be popped up just before you know it. And it's true. It's like, it's almost like being born because you're like, well, I'm at four Mississippi. This is not going to go well. And the next thing you know, you're up above, your head's above water. But then you got to watch for that next wave.
Right.
So I felt like all of that was really accurate. I'm not sure about the violence and the crazy eyes. I feel like...
For Bodhi,
yeah.
Well, you know, he doesn't like violence. He says that.
That's what he says, and then he murders all those people.
He reaches his breaking point.
Yeah, that's after he breaks point.
You guys, no one enjoys pointing out breaks and points more than Beth Kagan watching this movie.
Yeah.
There were a lot of breaking points.
There were.
And what is a point break? Do they talk about that in the movie?
It's where the wave breaks.
Right?
That's my guess would be.
But. I think it was a real ocean thing.
Yeah.
Wait, are you from California?
Yeah, wait a minute.
What's happening?
I moved to the Midwest.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You never caught a wave, bruh?
No, I've never caught a wave.
You haven't been surfing at all?
No.
Were you too busy building robots and warehouses?
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. Oh.
That's pretty much exactly what I'm saying. Just playing video games, being called a tryhard. Well, that's a newer vocab. Blake. The soundtrack to this movie is
so good.
I was trying to think why it's so good. I think this movie's hitting at 92, right? Which is right.
91.
91. Even better.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is pre-grunge. But we're like almost there. So there's like a mix of like guitar stuff, but then also like weird like Phil Collins jams in there as well. Not actual Phil Collins, but like knockoff Phil Collins.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like right before a Hollywood producer would be aware of what grunge is.
Yeah.
So like as far as they know, like this is what music is. And like a couple, honestly not that far north of them, there's this whole other genre that's been thriving for like a while, but it hasn't quite broken
to that
to a point where the rest of the country is just on board. Speaking of music, there's an incredible, I wrote this down as tangential guitar stringing, where Bodhi is like first, like it's like after the party has died down a little, they're hanging out around the fire. The guy from the band Hanson is describing riding a wave or whatever. And then it cuts to Bodhi giving like his first philosophy lesson. And only like halfway through, because of the way it's shot, because it's so dark and it's like mostly out of frame, do you realize that this entire time he has been stringing an acoustic guitar?
Which he never played.
No!
Yeah.
Oh, that's I'm bummed out now.
It's funny that he's stringing the guitar, but at the same time, like if he had broken out into like singing around the fire, that would have felt out of character.
Yeah, it would.
Right?
Yes, it would have broken the mystique.
So he only strings guitars.
If he'd like passed it off to someone else? Yeah.
Yeah, it actually does feel like Like, he's like, this is the Zen part of playing guitar.
Yeah, I know how to do this.
Actually,
that's, that's me. Yeah, it's probably what it was. It was sort of just like, let me help you, compadre, and grab the guitar, strung it up, and then just handed it back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
He never has to blink, so he'll never slip on getting a string in
there. Or, like, tighten it too, you know.
Yeah, can we talk about how awkward the Johnny Utah, what was her name?
Tyler.
Or Petty's character? Like, first kiss business was.
Oh, after the night surf?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That was real hard.
It was rough.
It was romance.
It just seemed like, actually, it was the next morning. Those kisses were way more uncomfortable for me.
Oh, right. When they woke up on the beach, he's like, shit, I'm late. And then spent 10 more minutes of a single static shot of the two of them kissing.
Yeah, except for he was like, I don't know. I just feel like he was trying to, like, eat her face or something. Yeah. I don't even know what was happening. It was just weird.
It was a little weird. I think for me, like, I don't know. I just picture the words on the page of the script and what the screenwriter had in mind. And then you just hear it delivered, like, goosebumps. And it's just really, like, and then this really awkward shot of hands on the leg.
Like, rubbing her goosebump legs.
But it was just, like, I mean, you know, and then after that is a come here or come over here or something, which sort of is an invitation, and that seems fine.
Yeah.
But, like, that just, that moment of, like, I just, it's just so, it makes me appreciate improv in some ways because you don't have to have this idea and then have it carry through the page into a production and into the mouth of an actor you don't even know who it will be.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets delivered in whatever way it gets delivered and you're stuck with it, you know?
Goosebumps. Do you think that was improvised, though? Because Lori Petty looked legitimately cold in that scene.
I mean,
that could have been Keanu Reeves style improv. Yeah. Just goosebumps. And just like weird rubbing of the leg.
Like, not since Muppet Hands from
Dave Ortiz will know what we're talking about.
It's the Tokyo Drift episode. But yeah, it's just, have I seen such weird hand padding?
Yeah.
Should we take a quick check in on did they bang in that on the beach?
Oh yes.
For sure, right?
Yeah.
For sure they banged.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He had to awkwardly pull his pants up to get back to his raid because he's a
flake. What a flake.
She's sleeping, and then he wakes up and just starts yelling, shit. Like, if I were her and I woke up on a beach, like in an unfamiliar area with someone just yelling, shit, I would be more startled than her. She just starts giggling. Yeah, like, it's hilarious.
Yeah. She has centered herself.
Yeah, right. You're right.
The ocean. She's near the ocean.
She's near the source.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I get it. See, every time I start to stray away, the source brings me back.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's a couple good moments that Keanu has while standing on the beach and looking out into the ocean and making realizations. The first being, and I had never noticed this before, but like he's learning to surf with Lori Petty, and then they spot Bodhi. It's our intro to Bodhi, and there is like he is making eyes hard at this dude.
Yeah,
who isn't?
Right,
I know exactly who is it. I had always been on board with this movie being a love story between Keanu and Swayze, but I never noticed that first moment. Like, it's love at first sight.
Yeah, for sure.
Immediately he sees him and he's like, "This is my guy."
Yeah, goosebumps.
And then later, is it during the night swim?
He
recognizes one of the ex-president's ass and then has to go immediately because he knows that they're the bank robbers now.
Yeah.
I hadn't put those together before
either.
The guy pulls out his pants and that's the moment where he's like, I figured it out. I gotta go.
Because his ass had the words, thank you, right? Written on it. And he mooned the bank and then the bank, the ass was on camera.
Yeah.
And we know that because they show the scene three times.
Multiple times.
Yeah. But also, the editing job when we see the camera ass
so good.
Is great. It fades right into from the actual event to the FBI watching that tape. I thought it was a great edit job.
I think that's the perfect like metaphor for what you're trying to say
with
a crappy movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's a good movie. Dressed as a crappy movie.
Yeah. Yeah, look how great we edited this shot of a man's ass.
With the word thank you written on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is perfect. That is like the perfect, like,
encapsulation of this movie.
Yeah. Yep.
I wrote down smoking gun ass because it was like that was his moment. The moment was when he saw the ass. He's just like,
which he's 100% FBI agent, so he can recognize an ass that's out in the ocean.
Yeah, exactly.
And pair it to one that he saw on a grainy ass VCR tape.
Listen, if you can shoot a cardboard man and not shoot the cardboard child that he's holding in torrential rain, you can spot a nighttime ass on the ocean.
Hey, I'm on board.
100% Utah.
He's 100% Utah agent. Oh, man. So good.
I want to believe in my heart of hearts that all of the, like, ridiculous zazzes that Angela Papa said just came out of Gary Busey's brain. I'm sure they weren't. I'm sure most of them came out of the script. But he has some poetic insults for various people in this movie.
Yeah, I don't know. I want to... They're, like, almost too good to be written by the same person that wrote the rest of the dialogue in this movie. Right? They fit his character too well. Like, they're so... That character feels so, fleshed out.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. As the grizzled old FBI agent.
Yeah. I would argue Busey's best role.
What? I can't name a ton of other Busey movies. Or any. What are some other contenders for that title? 48 Hours? He's that guy, right? Or is that Nick Nolte?
Ooh, that might be Nick Nolte.
I also get them confused.
Yeah. He's in one of the Under Siege movies.
Okay.
I'm sure he was in some earlier movies.
He's in the Buddy Holly movie.
Oh, yeah.
That was his first movie.
He's probably pretty good in
that. That was not his first movie. Maybe it was. I don't know. But that's kind of his, like, major role.
I bet he's pretty good in that. I've never seen it.
But now he's just known for being, like, legit crazy.
Like wackadoo.
Yeah.
Like something happened to him, either drugs or like
may
a...
may not be.
Oh, he was in a motorcycle accident.
Oh, okay.
Is yeah, after the Buddy Holly movie, ooh, he was in an accident and then he has brain damage.
Yeah.
And then they made like a comedy show about how crazy he is.
Yes.
I'm with Busey.
Well, he was on that show. Maybe. He was on Rehab, Celebrity Rehab, which is not nice to people who aren't going through rough times.
Yeah, but I think he was also like on a show that was just about how crazy he is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm abusive.
I was
right?
Yeah, okay. It's
him hanging out with a guy.
I think I think that he was brought back into the limelight through the Rehab show and then went on that show. That's my guess.
Tweet at us. Win that Busey back.
Yeah.
Yeah, win that Busey back.
Well, I was truly devastated when his character gets killed.
Yeah, it occurred to me that I think every other time I watch this movie, I assumed there was a scene where Johnny Utah visits him in the hospital.
Oh,
we know he didn't
die.
And that scene doesn't exist.
No.
Like, there's every reason to believe he is dead, right?
Yeah.
He's dead.
Doesn't he, like, take his pulse and he's dead? Like, it's...
Oh,
like,
I don't know.
No, just like he gets shredded by that shotgun in the brutal action scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I would... Spoilers for the end of the movie, obviously.
Yeah.
I interpret the Johnny Utah dedicating his life and foregoing haircuts, chasing down Bodie, and then throwing his badge into the sea... I would interpret that as, like, Busey is definitely dead. Like, everything is falling apart.
Sure.
And now he has nothing.
He's just wrapping up this one case.
Yes, one last
and
case.
Then, but he's still surfing every day.
Yes, he does.
So what's he going to do now?
Just surf, I guess.
Surf and rob tuxedo? Banks. That would be great.
Oh.
Point Break 2.
Yeah.
Okay, I would actually...
Break here.
Point
broken.
Broken point. Anyway... I would actually have a lot more respect for the remake if it turned out that the new Bodie was Keanu Reeves reprising his role as
like
Johnny
Grease
Utah.
Grease 2.
Yeah, what?
Grease 2 is basically that premise.
Really?
Yeah, so Grease 1 is all about Sandra Dee getting together with whatever John Travolta's character is.
You know we watched this for the show, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, anyway, in the second one, Sandra Dee becomes the... played by Michelle Pfeiffer, is now at this point a super hot vixen bad girl and a wholesome dude.
Wait, she
pursues her.
Also playing Sandra Dee? I thought she was a different character.
Ooh. I remember it that Sandra Dee breaks bad.
Oh.
But I could be wrong.
Tweet at us. Hashtag WhoDatD.
Yep.
I'm killing it tonight.
Yeah.
With these hashtags.
Yeah. If Point Break the remake, which none of us have seen, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
And maybe most of America hasn't either.
Because why try to remake that movie?
Yeah. Yeah, why remake
it? I usually...
It made money 15 years ago, I guess?
Yeah. Like, I'm usually, like, just sort of cynically dismissive of remakes, but when this was announced, I was, like, legit offended this movie was going to get remade.
Yeah, because this one's so great.
And it's so, like, of its time, too. Like, you cannot recapture that magic.
Yeah. I guess exports are, like, a real thing now. Right. So there's a lot of extreme things they can do.
Sure.
And maybe we want to bring down the banks from the preview, which I watched multiple times.
Yes. I did as well.
Just, like, kind of hate-watched it.
Except for that one line, which is incredible.
Yeah. I believe these men, like me, are extreme athletes.
Real?
That's in the trailer.
Keanu Reeves type character. Right now.
And they're like jumping off cliffs in their squirrel suits or whatever. Yeah. But like, it looks like the theme of that movie is like, they're not bank robbers. They're like bringing down the system. They're like blowing up money
they're
trucks
like
and stuff.
Bond villains or something.
Yeah.
It seems like
chaos and down with capitalism.
Right. Which is just a typical like Hollywood machine grabbing the surface level and ignoring the beautiful golden Bodhi shaped heart of the movie.
Yeah. Molly, you bet that Lori Petty would be a good guy.
Yes.
Check.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Spouse of somebody. No.
No.
Well, can't lock her down.
How did Bodhi describe it? They had.
He had a woman.
No, had time.
They spent time.
They had time.
Had time. Hey,
but he did say she was my woman.
Yeah, at some point.
She's kind of gross.
Was, though. She freed herself.
No, I know, but my woman?
I don't know.
Like, come on.
He'd already broken point
Get
at that
it
point.
Together. Anyway, whatever.
She would be an awesome surfer.
Yes.
Presumably.
Yes.
You see her surf, right?
Yeah. She can hang with the four ex-presidents. She must be a good
surfer. And a boater.
Well, I feel like I was just getting desperate because I had to make a list of three things.
That was your fourth thing.
Was the restaurant she worked at one of those restaurants that's shaped like a boat?
They serve shrimp.
She could have been the one going out on a shrimp boat during the day.
Oh, right.
She could have been a shrimp boat captain during the day for all we know.
It's true. We don't know.
I
think she was.
I would also watch that movie.
Right?
I wish I had guessed waitress, because I feel like that's just, you know.
Yeah, that's how movies work.
And she was kind of a lifeguard. She did save his life.
Yeah.
I don't like shrimp, but if you were to go to a restaurant, would you order shrimp and fries?
I mean, if they were, like, deep fried, and I was, like, half drunk on Coronas, probably, yeah.
Okay, which you definitely would be if you were in this movie.
Yeah, there's a lot of Coronas.
There was a lot of Corona going on.
Yeah. Bechdel Wallace.
Oh,
hard fail. There was more than one named female.
Yes.
There was?
Yeah.
Bodhi's new girlfriend actually never speaks to Lori.
Tyler?
She does. She doesn't have a name, though.
Yeah.
Oh.
Tyler's like, I taught him that move. And she's
talking
like,
about a man.
I like it.
Well, they're talking about the move.
They're talking about the move, but.
No, it's
Lori Petty doesn't.
It doesn't matter. She doesn't have a name.
I taught him that move.
Yeah.
Right.
And she doesn't have a name.
Yeah.
There's a bank teller who gets a name.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
After that, oh, man, that manager is the worst.
Oh.
So they're going for the vault, and which they never do. That's when.
He's living to be radical.
He's living to be radical at that point. Is like open the vault and the lady's like, oh, the manager has it, and he just hands off his keys rather than being like, okay, I'll open it for you.
He hands off his keys and is like, just do whatever they want.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm sorry.
Stand up for your employees.
Oh.
Yeah, it's almost like he drop kicked a dog in that bank.
Yeah.
I mean, it comes in second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she had a name. It was like Janine or something.
Did Agent Computer even have a name?
No.
I don't think so.
Oh, man.
No, she did, because he hands off a file to her at the very beginning and says her name.
Oh, right. Okay. Cop Boss does, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Because I got my hopes up. I was like, oh, it's a named female character. Anything could happen.
So early in the movie.
Yeah. Something could happen and nothing does.
Yeah. So that's not surprising.
Does it count that she's talking about Lori Petty's character when they're looking at the computer?
Yeah, does the computer have a name? And does it count that she talks by typing to it? No, it doesn't. Fail. Meatball subs happened, and it was glorious.
Two.
I don't. He says two. So many times.
Yeah. I still love that line, but I was trying to watch it and figure out why I love it, and I don't know. I can't explain why I love how he delivers the fact that he wants two meatball subs.
I think what it is that, like, he, like, as Beth pointed out, he mentions it, he brings it up so many times in such a short, like, period, like, a short duration of the movie, but, like, why? Like, why does that need to be in there? Why can't they just be like, I would like two meatball subs, and then Captain Bigelow like, all right, cut, we got it. They're just like, at some point, they made the choice, like, just let it roll. Just let the camera roll. And they're like, all right, Gary, you want two sandwiches? And they just let the camera roll. It's so beautiful.
Good. It's so good.
Yeah. Do you think his old partner... Okay, two thoughts. One, his old partner never got that second.
Never.
Two.
Okay.
Two, Beth. His old partner never got that second Subway sandwich, meatball sub, for him.
Yeah.
Or... his old partner died on the job, and they used to always eat meatball subs together.
And now he eats two to honor him.
He dumps out the second one for his old partner. It's like, this one's for me. The other one goes.
Right. And that's why he says, he's like, I'm so hungry I could eat the ass end of a dead rhino. I should have gotten three of these because he has to throw a second one away.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's why he doesn't want some blue flavor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I love that theory. This changes the whole movie for me.
Yeah.
Dump a meatball out for my partner. And then he's fucking they're right in front of the bank, and he's reading the paper and like chuckling to himself.
He's reading the funny
paper.
Yeah,
okay. Like Marmaduke or something.
Probably. He'd be in the Marmaduke. That dog. So big. And they missed.
I bet so big you wouldn't throw it at somebody.
Yeah.
You couldn't.
Well, Bodie probably could.
That bod.
Yeah.
How were the bods in this for you guys? Good? Good bods?
Good bods.
Good bods.
Yeah.
Good
bods. Like I said, made up for the terrible acting that Keanu Reeves had thrown out.
A good amount of midriff shirts, half shirts.
At one point, he was showing his midriff, presumably to say, I'm not armed, but we knew why.
Do you feel like Catherine Bigelow was like, this is our movie? I seriously had that thought when I was like, the main female character has, Tyler is her name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, then the big masculine violent character in the crew is named Rosie.
Yeah.
I was like, do you think she did that on purpose to, like, mm-hmm. make it so it's like, hey, look at the women are tough in this world. Yeah.
Or, like, that shot where Keanu Reeves trips over the sheets of his bed just enough to expose his firm buttocks.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, she did that for American women.
Yeah, how many times did she make Keanu tumble around to show his buttocks? One more time, Mr. Reeves.
Catherine, I've done this fall like 70 times. My knees hurt.
Do you want to be a star or not? This is pretty early Keanu, right?
Yeah.
We've probably seen Bill and Ted's.
Yeah.
Because that's like maybe movie one. And one of his greatest roles.
Yeah. The role he was born to play. There's a moment in this movie where he smiles so big.
Yeah.
And I was so happy to see it because you almost never see Keanu smile in a movie.
It's sad Keanu.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a sad life, man. No one respects him.
Aww. Yeah, Beth.
Sister's got like cancer and stuff.
What?
Oh. Yeah. Aww. Did you not read the newsletter I wrote about Keanu? I just remember
he had like family tragedies. I don't remember like the specifics.
Yeah. He gives all his money to like crew and stuff.
Oh man.
He's awesome.
He's awesome because
there was someone called it out. There was like classic Keanu shot like above the bed. He's staring straight up.
Yeah.
There's like a woman with her face down so she can be topless but not shown topless.
Right.
While he's like staring disaffectedly out. Like,
yeah.
It probably is also in The Devil's Advocate and probably a bunch of other movies.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That's the scene where I said that I wouldn't be able to not laugh if I were her. Oh, he's like rubbing like, her arm in a way that I was like, that would be so ticklish.
Right.
I just like could not, if that was me, I would just not be able to.
But again, she's used to the movements.
Of the ocean. Of the ocean.
True. Guys, what I'm finding out is I need to go learn how to surf.
Yeah, we
all should go take surf lessons from Molly.
I don't know if I'd be as good as Tyler was. I just want to, just to put an end cap on that, that what Dan just described with Keanu in bed staring up at the ceiling.
Yeah.
I want to try to, for our newsletter at totesrecall.com, I'm hoping to find a still of that and some other stills of Keanu in similar movies and see if people can identify which one is which.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I've seen that still of him in multiple places.
I would also bet there's one in Dracula that feels, no, Jonathan Harkin doesn't really get down.
Yeah, he's like the only character in that movie who does not get very sexual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless they, although I it's been a long time since I've seen that version of Dracula. I hear it stays very close to the book.
The sexy Dracula?
Bram Stoker's Dracula?
Yeah.
No, it's terrible.
No, does it?
Yeah.
It's terrible and doesn't follow the book, or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, it follows, maybe it's, it follows the book in that, like, it names a lot of the characters.
Oh, okay.
But then it also adds, like, weird, like, things where Mina is, like, the resurrected wife of Vlad the Impaler or something. Yeah, it's, like, it's bullshit.
What? Are you bored? Are you bored? Dracula talk?
Jeez, I'm sorry. I'm sorry this bad movie made you feel bad.
It's just one of my favorite books of all time.
No, it's a great book. Movie is... Ooh.
Not so much.
It's kind of pretty.
Wait, what is this the original one? Which one are we talking about?
The one with Gary Oldman.
Oh, no, that's not the original.
And Winona Ryder.
The one with Bela Lugosi has my... Probably another one of my favorite scenes of all time.
Oh. Okay.
Which is like an outside shot of the castle. And there's, like, giant rats outside, but the rats are actually armadillo and possums.
Oh, yeah. Oh, cool.
It's great.
I don't know if I've ever seen that. Is that on AFI? Is that what you've seen?
Yes. He doesn't blink once in that movie, which I wonder if that's inspiration for Bodhi.
Is Bodhi a vampire? Surf vampire.
Oh, he goes into surf at night.
He just goes into the ocean and then...
Feeds.
Yeah, and feeds.
Or whatever, right?
Yeah, that's how it works.
Or is that like his coffin?
Like, he doesn't really die because he's already dead.
Right,
yeah.
So he really is free in the ocean. So we think that he's dead.
Yeah, I guess we should talk about the very end of this movie, right?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
I
spoiler guess. Alert, he dies.
Or does he?
Keanu tracks him down at Bell's Beach. Bill's Beach.
We all tried to do Australian accents and just failed miserably.
I speak for yourself.
You nailed it? Well, let's see it.
No, I feel like Beth and I nailed it in the moment.
Okay, go ahead.
In the moment.
Oh, I see. It can't be repeated.
Bell's Beach.
Bell's Beach.
There's a 50-year storm. Bill's Beach.
You'd have to be insane to go down there.
No one's surfing today, mate.
Oh, boy.
Here come the police. You let him go. Nope.
No.
No. Abort.
No, back up.
Anyway, Keanu. They flop on top of each other a bunch.
Ooh, yeah, they have
Keanu is wearing all denim.
Yes.
And it's raining, which is his jam.
Yeah, he's 100%.
He's 100%, right?
Bodhi's wearing, like, an old blanket or something.
Probably brought from Mexico.
Probably.
Like a poncho.
I thought he was dressed like Batman.
From the far away, yeah. That first shot, it does. Yeah, it looks like it's Batman.
But then...
He kind of is Batman, though, because, like, he said he, like, chased him all around the world.
Dracula. Okay.
Just like Dracula. Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, Dracula gets chased around. Yeah.
Exactly.
But again, captures him, blah, blah, blah. Lets him go surf the final wave.
Well, I was going to say sucker punches, but that's not it. He allows Bodhi to think that Bodhi is drowning him.
Yes.
But in fact, he's handcuffed him.
Oh.
And so who has the upper hand now?
And he's like, you're going down, or you gotta go down.
And then, like, a helicopter lands, and there are all of these officers who have gone out of their way.
Right.
Like many police, I would say.
It's also apparently about to be a natural disaster, and they're about to evacuate the beach.
Right.
And they have all of these nice Australian officers.
Or at least actors pretending to be Australian officers. It was unclear.
It was unclear. But anyway, they all line up to just arrest this guy, and Keanu has him, and he gets talked into letting him go.
Because he calls him compadre, Molly.
Yeah.
That's a sacred bond.
Vaya con Dios.
Why were there so many police there?
Yeah, there's too many.
he has karate skills, no question.
Yeah, but. And he's committed some serious crimes.
Sure.
Like a lot of bank robbery, I guess some...
He killed a bunch of people.
But I mean, like, were they really concerned that, like, him and his blanket
it
were going to take
like
out...
It was, like, a Hannibal Lecter, like, quantity of people. Yeah.
I mean, maybe they had a bunch of extras around. They thought, like...
We'll pay these people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They can all do Australian accents.
Yeah.
Kind of. Better than Molly King.
But then he goes and surfs.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I was looking away or whatever, but I don't know, like, does he, is it clear?
Hard to watch.
Is it clear whether he dies or not? I know Keanu's like, he's not coming back, but I don't know if we take that at face value.
He kind of eats shit out there, and then you watch the, like, giant wave, like, envelop him.
Right. So you don't know. I think it's...
You don't know, but you just, you know...
I think it's an ambiguous ending.
Ooh, question.
Maybe he's
though.
Making a wish with a faithful heart.
Yeah.
Some crouch tiger.
However. It ends dragon.
Consider this, though. Like, he specifically says, like, you know, I'm not built for a cage, man, or whatever he says.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, like, even if he's fine after eating shit in the wave, do you think he, like, allows himself? Do you think he counts past five Mississippi?
I think that was his last ride.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's completely believable that he would go.
Yeah.
Suicide by wave himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Suicide by 50-year storm.
Yeah. But mm-hmm. maybe he's too good of a surfer to let that happen either. Like his instincts take over.
Yeah, right.
Then he surfs to New Zealand. And he's
He said he couldn't do, but he totally could.
Yeah.
Because he's Bodhi.
Here I am in Bede.
What?
They say Bede in New Zealand instead of bed.
What? Oh, Bede. I see.
Bede.
What about Bede? Why did he go to Bede?
Because he's in New Zealand now. So he talks like that.
So he paddles in New Zealand and then goes to Bede.
He goes to Bede. He's tired from paddling all the way
to
New Zealand.
Sure, I mean, that'd be exhausting. Even for your amazing golden tanned arms.
At any rate, he does not get arrested.
Patrick Swayze.
Go to Bede.
Go to Bede and then teach me how to dance.
Let's go on the Lord of the Rings tour.
Oh, boy.
Sorry, New Zealand listeners.
Yeah, sorry. Ooh, just that entire chunk of the globe.
We had one.
No, we have an Australian listener.
We had one Australian
listener.
Oh,
no, now we've ruined it.
Sorry. Well.
Maybe they'll appreciate our comedic failures.
You can send us a voice clip of you doing an American accent.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, I would love that. That'd be great.
Hashtag, what would dad yank talk?
Yank talk?
Yank.
Oh, like yank talk. Yes, yank talk.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like crank yankers.
No.
It can be in the form of a prank phone call.
Oh, okay.
If you want. That's up to you. Anyway, that's too much instruction.
Oh, boy. Oh. All right.
Speaking of user reviews...
User
incredible. Yep.
Gross.
Listener reviews?
I mean, they use the podcast to entertain themselves to occupy some of their time or their
day,
right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Is there anything else before we move on?
No, I want to hear this.
So, part of our ongoing segment in this show, if you leave a 5-star review for our podcast because you like it, and we hope you do, we'll read it on the show. In the impression of a character from the movie, that's it. Or Nick Cage, right. If we can't think of anybody. Leave it on iTunes and tell us if you leave it anywhere else.
Yes.
Because we won't find it.
Correct.
I'm not getting those emails anymore that I said I was getting. So I might have to figure that out in case you're leaving it on Australian or UK or Canadian. It might be just North American. No, it's probably
anything
Canadian.
Anything outside of the U.S.
Anything outside the U.S.
Major bummer, iTunes. Fix that.
Fix it.
Why can't you get emails anymore?
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Cool.
Anyway, is anybody inspired by anybody in this movie?
I would try to do a Keanu Reeves impression.
Yes.
Okay. A reading. Soft Silver Tane 5000. Oh. Molly. I love your car talk. I wonder if you'd really enjoy Gone in 60 Seconds, bro. Dan and Dan. Oh. Gone in 60 Seconds. Nicolas Cage and Angelina Jolie.
Oh.
Beth. I really like your insight. You are younger than my brother. I wish I could say more.
Is that it?
Everyone, this podcast is like Orange Day at Luther College. Cheetos, tomato soup. In other words, comfortable.
That was a piano.
That
was great.
Thank you, I would say it was a very comfortable impression.
Yeah. Silver, I mean, 5,000. You just have to puck your lips and then you're doing a piano.
But also, like, feel the weight of, like, your years of family tragedy.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Keanu.
I'm so sorry.
I love you, Keanu.
Now I feel bad.
You should.
I feel really bad.
It's okay, Beth.
Talk to this Keanu.
I forgive you.
You're like the ghost of Keanu.
Are you feeling sad now? Good and sad. Good. Well, let's get out there and catch the bad guys.
Oh, man.
So good.
I love him. Yeah. So, thanks.
Well, if you're comforted by our podcast, leave your own review.
Yeah, do it. Gone in 60 seconds. I haven't seen it.
I have not seen it.
I feel like I've seen
it. It's got cars in it. Of course you've seen it.
I feel like I have.
Cars.
But I won't know for sure until I rewatch it.
Real quick, does Angelina Jolie have blonde dreadlocks in that movie?
Ooh, maybe.
I would believe that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I will double down on that.
Actually, maybe I have seen it.
Oh.
Maybe I saw it on a plane or something.
I won't say definitely, but I'm pretty sure I've seen it.
Okay. So you've definitely not seen it.
No, shut up. I might have. I feel like I remember thinking, oh, that's a movie I want to watch.
Well, Silvertane 5000.
Recommends it. Wait
for next Respect Listener Opinion
yes.
Month.
Yes.
And suggest that movie, and maybe we'll vote on it and it'll win. Who knows?
Yeah, it could be the dark horse that comes in and overtakes all the other contenders.
Breaks all the points off
sure.
the other.
Yep.
Can I just be honest?
I'm concerned that Point Break is going to win every year.
Well, it's out of contention now.
Yeah, we're not going to do it again.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Let's people vote for it again.
No, those people can go fuck themselves.
I mean, maybe we would talk about this Point Break and then watch the remake.
Oh.
Yeah, sure, I would do that.
Okay.
Point Remake.
Oh.
Hey.
Anyway, so, let's stay present
okay.
in this Point Break.
I gave this Point Break 3-4.
You gave it 4
because
of surf stuff.
Quaff boards.
I think you guys, I mean, between the dog situation and just generally feeling impatient with a lot of just shooting and confusion and like... people yelling at each other for no reason.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I didn't want to dampen anyone's enjoyment of this movie with my own newness to it. You know, like I don't have the same kind of emotional like nostalgia. And also, I love Anthony Kiedis, and I was so concerned for him. I'm just gonna give it 3 quaff boards and 2 packs of surf wax.
Sex wax.
Well,
it's the brand in the movie.
I know, but that's not what I'm talking about.
Awesome.
Great.
Dan, you gave it 5.
Yep.
Stick with it.
Good.
I feel the same. Stick it with 5. Great movie. I feel confident again in my assertion about it being an awesome movie wrapped in a shitty movie.
Yeah.
Thank you, Beth, for that perfect encapsulation of the butt editing.
Totally.
That's exactly what this
yep.
movie is.
Yep.
Yeah, Beth, you gave it overall a 5.
Yep.
You gave Keanu a 2, The Swayze a 4, Busey a 5, Kiedis a 10.
Petty a 7, I think.
The John C. McGinley at Mustache.
Yeah.
Lori Petty at 7, and the dog at Infinity.
Oh.
Let's go down the list.
Do you want to go one by one?
So, yes. So what was the first one?
I guess overall a 5.
Okay, I'm going to stay at a 5.
Yeah.
This is the number one dumbest movie I've ever seen. I've never seen it.
Keanu at a 2.
Yeah, that's accurate. But also, I'm going to give him a bonus point because I feel bad about what
yeah.
I said.
Compassion point?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Swayze at a 4.
His eyes stayed really wide open the whole time, so 6.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I fully agree with that.
Yeah.
Busey at a 5.
Yeah. I know that it's on a scale of 1 to 5,
yeah.
but I want to give him, like, a 20 billion.
Yeah. He's great.
He's great.
So, he crushes he's it. He's really good in it. Yeah. And, like, I love that character so much. Yeah. So dumb.
Pappas.
Kiedis at a 10.
Okay, Kiedis is going to drop down to, like, a 1.
Okay.
Or, like, maybe a half a point.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to give him a 1 because of his scream when he gets shot in the foot. Because he killed that.
He did. Yeah. Authentic.
I wonder if he went method, like semi-method, and someone like stomped on his foot real hard.
Yeah.
Or he actually shot himself in
the foot. Maybe he really shot himself in the foot. Like, maybe Flea was on set and was like, dude, step on my foot super hard. I gotta act.
Okay, bro. Yeah.
John C. McGinley mustache.
No
mustache. Lori Petty a 7.
Yeah. I'd stay at a 7. I thought she did a pretty good job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She does good, right?
Yeah.
And the dog at infinity.
Yeah. I mean, that dog deserves every single point there ever was. Yep. It gets drop kicked, and it's really a star. Yeah. So.
Think about how many treats that dog got after that scene was over.
Yeah.
When they wrapped a dog.
I bet that dog is a stunt dog and was, like, grateful for her work.
Yeah.
And was, like, very excited to show off his new tricks, her new tricks.
Who knows?
We don't know, and we'll never know.
I bet Keanu was really nice to that dog.
I bet he was.
I bet he loved it. I bet that dog went skydiving with him.
Oh, I bet he did!
Him, Busey, and the dog.
All right. Assuming the dog is okay, I feel like I need to bring up to a 4... Quaff words, mostly because hearing that breakdown, it made me very nostalgic for this movie.
And I
feel like this is the kind of movie that I'll be writing the newsletter for, like, later and be like, oh, this is a great movie. But I should warn our listeners that I felt the same way about Tokyo Drift. And I feel the same way at this moment. I would rewatch Tokyo Drift, and it was painful. It was terrible.
Yeah,
this is not the same movie.
No, this is not anywhere near
the
same.
I know.
The second.
It is beautifully shot. And there are excellent moments. That dog, though, I will be looking up information if anyone has any.
I'm sure the dog is fine.
The dog is certainly not fine now.
Well, it's probably dead.
Well, yes.
Yeah, but that's from natural causes. After living a full life as a stunt dog.
Right, yeah.
The dog was trained to fall appropriately, right?
I mean, this dog
told his or her grand puppies all about the time that she or he was thrown from Patrick Swayze's buff arms into Keanu Reeves' buff arms, and then
the nightmare that followed.
Although, to be fair, that dog was probably neutered because high levels of sexual chemicals heightens the aggression a lot.
But they might have had their eggs and or sperm saved before that.
Sure, that's a beautiful dog. Yeah.
The next generation of stunt dogs.
Ooh, what if that dog has been cloned in Korea, and Korea is just full of the dog that got thrown in Point Break?
Yeah, that's probably true.
It's like a dream come true.
I bet this dog was better off than the cat from the African Queen. Right?
Oh.
What happened to the cat in Africa?
Didn't we find just like a single frame where everybody's jumping off the boat?
The cat off
there's
the
like
boat.
A random cat just flying off the boat?
Yes.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. The dog's fine, Molly.
But do some research or tweet at us. Hashtag, what would dat point dog?
Ooh, yeah.
Dog
point,
break?
Point dog.
Up to you.
Break.
Ooh, yeah.
No, point bark.
Wow.
Point bark?
That's it. Point bark.
Oh.
Perfect. Nailed it.
Pointer bark.
It was a pit bull.
It was not point a pointer.
Bark. Yeah. Point bark is good. Pit break? No.
Point
bark.
Break?
Point bark.
Pit break?
Pit bark?
Point bark. Okay, now I just really want to do like a shot-for-shot remake of this movie with dogs.
Yeah. Then do they throw a human?
Yes!
Sweet justice.
Thank you for listening to Totes Recall. New episodes drop on the 15th of every month. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Totes Recall Pod. Subscribe on iTunes and leave a review. It helps more people find the show. Totes Recall is hosted by Molly Chase, Beth Gibbs, Dan Jaquette, and Dan Linden. Produced by Beth Gibbs. For more information, check out noisepicnic.com/totesrecall.